Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influences Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influences.church. And now for our message.
I want to show you my first ever car. And when you see it, all these people over here, you'll be wondering where you tie the horse to it. All right. This was my first ever car. This is a 1959 FC Holden Special. It has a three-speed crash gearbox, which means no synchro mesh, which means you can't just flick it back into first without doing a little bit of fancy footwork. You've got to be a bit of a Fred Astaire to get it back. And remember this, Pastor Steve amongst, I can't say Pastor Josh here, because you would have grown up in the electric era, but Steve grew up, where's Greg Johnson, grew up with the horse and carriage. Oh. But we're going beyond that, Pastor Greg. Steve, remember, you know, amongst your friends, if the big deal was, got it back into first at 30. 30. So then for the next week, all your buddies are out there trying to get it back into first at 32. You know, if you've got a... Where you're, 246 bucks I paid for that little baby. Yeah, try and pick one up for 246 bucks today. And I bought it off a girl at I was an apprentice chef at the Tower Mill Motor Inn on Wickham Terrace in Brisbane City. And she was a waitress. Her dad owned that from brand spanking. And I picked it up. First thing I did when I took it home was rip all the chrome off. Of course, I'm an idiot. And put wide wheels on it and went out to practice dropping it back to first at 32. And I think I held the record in my street, which was fantastic. But I remember one time, sweetheart, you lived in a very hilly area of Brisbane. I told you I was going to come over and see you. We'd heard about Pastor Josh's first date. I don't think this was our first date, but I was eager. And so I said, I'm coming over on Friday night. And so I went. Now, I had a slipping clutch. Now, I'm looking at a whole bunch of guys over here. Come on, be honest with me, guys. Put your hand up if you only have an automatic car license. Come on. Yeah, a few of the boys, be honest. Yeah, well, just have a sleep for now. You wouldn't have a clue. My youth pastor only has an automatic car license. He's on notice. He won't have a job by the end of the month if that's not remedied. So I've got to go to Susie's. I've got a slipping clutch, which the clutch is what joins sort of the engine to the back wheels. And so, you know, there's a certain amount of what we call bite needs. And when it gets all burned and fried, it just slips. And so the engine roars, but the power's not getting to the back wheels. So I'm just going over to Susie's house, and I go up this hill, and it's going... But I'm not going very fast. And the top of the hill's still like 16 kilometres away. Yeah, she lived on Kosciuszko, you heard it. I'm embellishing slightly. So you don't lie, you have to embellish a lot. Because if you embellish a little, it's a lie. All right, so I think, I get a run-up. I go back a few streets, and I think I'll get a run-up. Because I said I'm going over to see my girl. And I got, and almost got to the top, and it's... Smells like Vegemite. Am I right? Smells like really bad Vegemite. Marmite. Smells like Marmite. Yeah, now we got it. So then I think, and I get out. I don't know what you call it in Adelaide. We call it a Refidex in Brisbane. It's the old-fashioned sat-nav. It was this thick, this big, and this big, and you had to turn pages. Who remembers that? And you had to rip pages out because this page had joined that page up here. And so you had a page this big. This is how we used to get around. Who remembers meeting people at the airport and having to send them like a telegram to ask them what colour shirt they were going to be wearing? Because you would never clue what they look like. Yeah, it's a different world. So I think I've got to find a different way to get over to Susie's house. So I get out the old, we call it the Brisbane Street Directory, the Refidex, and I find another way because it's, but the old Refidex is in 3D, so it looks flat. But I go a different way and I get it, and I'm like an hour and a half. I'm telling you, I'm what am I, 17 years old, you know, where's my baby? I'm thinking, I've got to get to me girl. I remember... eventually having a brainwave. We learned it this morning. It's an epiphany. Watch this. That's it. I got one of them. And I realized that reverse gear is lower than first gear. So I get all the way back here, jam it in reverse. No synchro in reverse either. And I'm just, and it just creeped at walking speed over Kosciuszko. And then all the way down to the other side. I was about an hour and a half, 2 hours late to go and see Susie. I told her the story and she said, "You shouldn't have come." That was it. I've given up Friday night football for this, and all I get is, "You shouldn't have come." But here's the deal. I remember looking back at her, and oh, this is it. I just couldn't believe that she would say that, because I said I would. I said I would. Your word's got to be worth something. Let me read a scripture to you and see what we can learn. It says here in Luke chapter 8, one day Jesus said to his disciples, he's about to tell them something. He said, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." Where are they going? Come on, talk to me tonight, folks. Where are they going? They're going to the other side. So they got in the boat and started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. Why? Because he knows where he's going. He's given his word. So he settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. Everyone say, "Real danger." Real danger. Everyone say, "Not fake danger." Real danger. This is the real deal. 24, the disciples went and woke him up shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly, the storm stopped and all was calm. Then he asked them, "Where is your faith?" The disciples were terrified yet amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him." So they arrived. Where did they arrive? Where he said. If you hear nothing else tonight, I want you to hear that Jesus said it and it happened. That's what he said. They arrived because he said they'd arrive in Jesus' name. So they arrived in the region of the Gerasenes. Now, I got a photo of a boat. I'd like you to put that up just so you're aware. This is the type of boat they were in, almost a replica. It wasn't like a tinny. Well, when I read this, I always think they're all like in a canoe, but I realize there's 13 of them. So it's about an 8 meter long boat. And so this is what they're crossing. In fact, I've got one more photo. Put the next photo up. This is where they were going, just for the geography, so you know. They're going across the ocean. They were going about 8 kilometers or 5 miles, if that's how you talk. That was the journey, the exact journey that Jesus spoke to him about in the boat I just showed you. He said, "We're going to the other side." And what I want to do, Pastor John, I don't want to preach. What? Because the truth of the matter is, all I did was read this one morning in my devotions. And I did something I do oftentimes. I read it slow. This is my problem with most Christians. Let me talk to just the people who'll listen. They've heard it all before. This is the problem with most Christians. They think they've got to read 5 chapters a day. And so they brag about, "I read my 5 chapters. I'm up with my reading plan." Who cares? If you don't know anything, who cares if you ate 18 hot dogs, if you threw them all back up? Better if you ate one and it stayed down and did some good, if a hot dog could. So I'm not preaching. I'm just going to simply give you a couple of observations I saw when I read this slowly. Because John 8:32, and if you know me, you've heard me say this before, John 8:32 says this, if you know the truth, the truth, it seems a bit weak holding up an iPad, better to hold up a big old Bible, but if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. Now let's come back to the intelligent people in the room. It doesn't say if you read the truth, it says if you know the truth. All these people go like this, go, okay, and do it again in a minute. I'm just going to bring past here the biggest, bestest roast you've ever seen in your life, and you haven't eaten for a week. So here it comes, and I want you to have a good old smell on the camera. One, two, three. Come on, was it good? Was it good? So you obviously now you're full. Not at all. Because you don't get full when you sniff it. You could even lick it, and you don't get full. You only get full if you eat it. So we read the Bible. We read the Bible. Oh, I get nothing out of the Bible. It's because you're licking it. You're licking the roast. You're supposed to eat the roast. And if you're going to eat the roast, you're going to need to sit down. You're going to need to take a few minutes. Oh, that's a good roast. Oh, I can even quote the taste, soft on the palate, with an oaky, velvety, yet rough feel. You're still malnourished. You still fall apart every time there's a problem. I'm only talking to you because you'll listen. They'll get mad at me. But you still fall apart when there's a challenge. We are in a challenge. Don't waste it. Don't waste it on fear. Don't waste this challenge on anxiety. Don't waste this on being negative. Challenges should help us grow. He said, we're going through. That's what he said. Thanks. Put that in there. Thank you. Great word. I'm not just talking COVID. Pastor Josh and I were talking today. When you're in a real bad place on your own, that's the loneliest place in the world. And still Jesus will meet you there. But one thing about this COVID thing, there's an energy to it because it don't matter whether you're talking to business people, school teachers, tradies, church folk, we all understand this together. We are in this together. So let's not waste it. But COVID may not be your problem. You could have a health challenge, a marital challenge, a relationship challenge. This is a time to get a word from God. God gave these boys a word. The storm was out of the boat and they did their best to get it in the boat. Yeah. Keep it out the boat. Get a word from God. Look, if you've got to do anything right now, doubt your doubts. Well, I had a promise, but I'm doubting it. Don't doubt your beliefs. Doubt your doubts. This is a time to believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. You know, I'm starting to get some doubt. Well, doubt it. That'd be a good thing to do. Well, I used to believe. Well, believe that. You say, well, how do I get a word from God? This is what I do every morning. Come on, how many of you wake up and you're on social media before you're on the Bible? Are you getting your truth from current affair? You're sillier than you look. This is what the smart people do. Now, I'm not good looking, so I'm going for smart. I'm at least going to win at something. My wife's sitting in the front row. I can come in without her and lie all I like, but not tonight. My morning starts by saying, sweetheart, you want a cup of tea? And this comes out of the doona every morning.
Yeah.
41 years after we said I do, it means a lot more than the diamond on a finger, I tell you. So I get her a cup of tea, and then we do two things. We will read the verse of the day, or the psalm I choose, and then we will name the day. First time we ever did this, I said to Susie, what's today? She said, Tuesday. I said, don't like Tuesday, let's think of something better. Let's call it favor. And we've been doing it ever since. So we have a cup of tea. We read a psalm or a good portion of scripture. Slow. And we name the day. You got to get a word from, these boys had a word from God. And you got to get a word from God. Here's the next thing that I want to say. Let me just say this. I got a word of God for my life. Do you know every Friday, Susie, you could probably, am I going to put you on the spot to ask you what I read every single Friday? Tell Josh. I read Isaiah 49 every Friday. I read verse 1 to verse 7. Now, no use you reading it because it's my word. No use you hearing we're going to the other side of the lake if you're catching the train. Get your own word. But I'm saying they had one. And you got to get one. Here, listen, Isaiah 49, every single Friday I read this. Listen to me, all you in distant lands. Pay attention, you who are far away. The Lord called me before I was born. Take that, devil. Yeah, I learned it from Steve. Two of them for you. I think I contextualised that, didn't I? Did I do all right? And I kept them together. It's always good. The Lord called me before my birth when I was still in my mother's womb. He called me by name. See, that's my word. That's my life word. You've got to seek God till you get one. And then keep it and pick a day, Tuesday, Sunday, whatever day, and read it. And when the enemy wags his finger in your face, say, I got a word. I'm getting through this. But you can get a word for your circumstance. I was traveling in an aeroplane one time, and Pastor Josh, if that's a knitting needle going bang, 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 it was that on the other way going from the inside, bang, 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 right in my chest. I was about 50 years of age, and so I thought, and I said this. I said, well, God, if this is it, you're cool. I remember saying that. But I also remember the big sweat running down my back because I got grandkids and I like ride my motorbike. I don't want to go yet. You know, I mean, heaven's going to be good, but there's a lot of mountains still with a lot of sweeping bends. I mean, Lord, but your call. So I thought, I'll read the Bible. What do you do when it all falls to custard? Jump on Facebook and have a rant? So I grabbed the Bible and I opened the Bible up. I just had four stabbing pains in my chest, feeling like my heart's about to leak out of my chest. I'm 50. My dad had heart conditions and died from it. And I'm thinking, this could be it. Well, I'm going to see what God says about it. I turn in my Bible to Psalm 16. We'll put it up. This is what I read. No doubt about it. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he's right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad. And I rejoice. And I lifted a couple of fingers to the devil and say, not today. Don't waste your challenge on fear. It's time to grow and get victory. Here's the next thing that I noted. He settled down for a nap. There's a big storm going down and he settles down for a nap. Why? Because he knows where he's going. He's got it done. His destiny is certain. He's in good hands, not the disciples, by the way, but in his Father's hands. He knows his mission. He's assured of his destiny. All of this comes just from sitting down for 15, 20 minutes. And just reading slow. I'm as thick as a brick. But I can read he had a nap and say, Holy Spirit, what does that mean? And Holy Spirit said to me, well, he's not concerned, I guess. Because that's the first thing that goes when you're concerned is sleep. And I realized why. He said, we're going to the other side. Well, then that's where we're going. I read John 14 just this afternoon. You know, don't let your heart be troubled. In my Father's house, there's lots of really big houses. But then he looks to the people and says, if it wasn't true, I'd have told you. You know that, don't you? You can believe me. When he talks, he means it. So he settled down for a nap. You wouldn't want to be singing this, but when I was growing up, he did not bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out. Turn to your neighbor and say, pretty glad we're not singing this one anymore. Well, Greg Johnson could join me. He brought us, you know, Greg Johnson, have a look, he's gone there. He brought us out to take us into the promised land. He did not bring us out this far to take us back again. He brought us out because he said, we're going to go into the promised land. Though there be giants in the land, I will not be afraid because he brought me out. He said he'll take me in. That's where you learn it. Look, if this Christianity eventually doesn't work with you sitting on a chair, I got a nephew who's 35 years of age. He's in the Middle East in a country I cannot tell you. He's got his wife there and three children, and they are not piping influences worship music into the parents' lounge. He's there because he sat on a chair one day, and God said, I think I've got a job for you, boy. 35. Wife and three kids. I promise you, I'm telling the truth, he hears bombs when he's having breakfast. But he sleeps soundly every night, he tells me, because he knows what God said. You get yourself a word. I'm not saying you sit there for days to get the word. You just say, I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back. You got to go to work, but I will be back tomorrow because I'm going to get one. All right, here's the next thing I see. I got 4 minutes on here. Here's the next thing. The next thing. The next thing. It says here, verse 23, but soon a storm came and the wind blew and the boat was filling and they were in real danger. Here's the deal. The minute you get yourself a word from God, the devil's awake. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I don't get it, Pastor. I wanted to serve God and now it's like I'm getting attacked. Funny that. Like join an NRL team. Join an AFL team and get the ball. Why are they chasing me? Because you got the ball, mate. It's how this game works. You get the ball, everyone wants to kill you. Yeah? You get yourself a word. But you see, the ball has the power to get the points. The ball attracts the enemy, but it also helps you win. Yeah? So the word attracts the enemy, but the enemy is no chance against the word. You got to get a word. He said, we're going to the other side. That's what he said. This challenge will not be the end of me because I've got a word. This challenge will not be the end of my call. Because I have a word. This challenge will not be the end of my mission. It will not be the end of my faith. It will not be the end of my confidence. Storms are the making of champions. I heard Winky Pratt and he say one time, hey, he bruised his only son. Why would he spare you? You get a word, you'll attract the enemy. But greater is he that's in you and he that's coming against you. Oh, now I want to say it was a real challenge. It wasn't a fake challenge. All right, here's the next thing I saw. I was just sitting in the chair, having a cup of tea, naming the day, reading a lazy old piece of the gospel. And the next bit I saw was they woke him up with much shouting. Now, I don't want to dwell on that because we get that. Master! You see, the storm was out of the boat, but they were doing their best to get the storm into the boat. He knew the storm was out of the boat, but he wasn't going to have the storm in the boat. Don't waste this challenge on fear and anxiety. there is hope and confidence if you get a word. This is the bit I want to point out. Look at this, verse 24. We'll put it on the screen. It says, when Jesus woke up. Do you understand that? Now, here, this is what I mean. They're going, Master, Master, Master. But when he woke up, so it didn't say, so Jesus jumped up. No, it doesn't say that. You're catching it, aren't you? He refused to come to the level of their fear because he had a word. Wait. You got an Earl Grey, Peter? I always start with an Earl Grey. Not Oil of Dilmah, thank you. And they're all, right. I'm not awake yet. See, he's not going to come to your fuss. The Bible says he is seated at the right hand of the Father. It does not say he is pussyfooting around, biting his nails, wondering if we're going to win. So you can shout all you like. But when he gets to it, because he's already got to it, he gave you a word. He's thinking, I've already told you, we're going through. Anyone who would care to find a chair. Now, it doesn't have to be a chair. That's a metaphoric. Anyone who would take the time to find out what God's saying about your situation, then you'll... When I catch an aeroplane and there's a bit of turbulence, the people from about row 20 back, they start looking at each other. And then they start talking, I saw air crash investigation. But the people who fly a bit, we always look up the front at the business class folk. And they're still having a cup of tea, still being served croissants. Get your confidence from the front of the bus, not the back of the bus. Get your confidence from the Word of God and not... Her name's Grimshaw for a reason. Dick Tracy sure is grim. What's the Channel 9 news? The facts without the fear. Pa, 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 pa. Better start looking at the front of the bus, folk. It's all under control. All right, we better finish because my phone's making motorcycle noises. I'm so manic. Someone said to me recently, do you have a Harley? I said, nope. Oh, I thought you did. No, I don't. Oh, sure you did. I said, I don't. I got two. I want just two more things. This is what I saw. Catch this. It says, verse 24, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. I saw Pastor Josh. He created them. So he doesn't have to rebuke them. He can just talk to them. Sometimes it's not natural, sometimes it's devil. And when you sit in this chair, you get to discern the difference. Some of us are shooting paper tigers, but some of us are letting real tigers wander around. He got up, he rebuked it. Well, come on, think about it. We got everything that the early church is hoping to become in this boat. The devil's got a pretty vested interest in this going to the bottom of the lake. So there is a time for the savvy devotional person to know when it's, there needs to be a fast or need to be a finger wave at the prince of the power of this air. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, God's son, get behind me, you filthy, foul condition. And the wise person with the word knows the difference. I got one last thing to just tell you. Verse 25, this bothered me about us. It bothered me about them, but then it bothered me about me. They said, who is this man? You can journey in the boat or in the church with Jesus, they said, Master, Master. You might call him Genie, Genie, or Big Guy, Big Guy. But they didn't know him. You get to know him here. That's a better place. You can get to know him in the storm. And they had a revelation, but it's better to get to know him here. Friend, I want to say to you, don't waste this challenge. And then lastly, verse 26, I love it. We'll put it up here. Have a look at this. They arrived. Well, get out. Who'd have ever believed it? Funny thing is, that's where he said they do right from the get-go. But in all the minutiae, you may not have taken the time to find out that you're going to get through this. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through is the key word. Heavenly Father, I've got brothers and sisters right now. A shaft of steel from heaven just went right up their backbone. They just grew up in spiritual terms. And they are leaving this place different. They are leaving this place with a confidence that is not human. It is not natural. It is indeed the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I'll tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, I will take their place. So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer, or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.